with the Lord's help, to read a few verses from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. I'd like to conclude with verse 25. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and may we all bow in prayer to the Lord. The words of Jesus Christ that he gave his disciples at the end of this experience is a question. The question is, where is your faith? He did not ask them, did you see those waves? Or did you see my great power and what I can do? Did you see something that scared you? He asks, where is your faith? He turns the direction of their attention upon their hearts. Because our Lord, he has the power. They had seen the miracles of healing that no one else could do, and he performed them. There's no lack of power on God's part. There's no lack of help and caring and compassion. And life has no shortage of its storms. The Sea of Galilee, surrounded by mountains, is very susceptible to winds that come up and stir up the waves and create storms that would put a boat like theirs in peril. Just like our lives. Sudden storms, unexpected circumstances, they will come. These things are a given. God's power and the challenge that comes in our lives. But our hearts. Where are our hearts? And where is your faith? That's something that's not a given. That's not something that just happens. That is a choice. Where is your faith? Jesus tells the disciples, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." The word of Jesus Christ gives his disciples direction and points to their destination. And things are going well for them at the beginning of this journey. They set out. In the other Gospels, Jesus is teaching, and it says that they took him as he was. From the boat where he was teaching, the multitudes, they just simply left. They didn't return to the shore to get supplies. They trusted. They had everything they needed. And they carried on at the word of Jesus Christ. Just like we should do when we hear the word of the Lord. When we find that its light shines into our hearts, displaying for us our need and convicting us of things that need to grow and change, and perhaps things that need to be removed. We should take his word at face value and accept and carry on without turning back, but put our hand to the plow and move forward. And the disciples do that. They follow on. They launch forth. But while they were sailing, the circumstances changed, and a storm comes up. And how this is like our lives. We come to church. We hear the word. It makes so much sense. And things line up, and we feel like we need to move in a particular direction. And when we want to exercise that faith, then resistance comes. Something stops us. Sometimes it's something someone else does. Someone offends us or hurts us. Someone's example is not exemplary, and we're discouraged. Sometimes it's self-inflicted. We put together our will and to-do list and crowd out God's plan. And the chances of us reaching the destination becomes in peril because we're diverted. We're thrown off course. The storm, the wind, the waves, they're resisting the call of God. The disciples in their experience came to a conclusion. And they said, "We perish." All hope was lost. They threw their hands up. What will we do? But they called unto Jesus, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." And he awoke. He was stirred. He was woken up by the call of his disciples that he loved, that did not know what to say, but only expressed where they were. And he came to their aid. He arose. He rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a great calm. And Jesus takes the opportunity to have them reflect on their hearts and asks them, "Where is your faith?" But they called upon the Lord. Doesn't that show enough where their faith was? Apparently not. Because in the other Gospels, Jesus says, "How is it that you have no faith?" And here Jesus is saying, "Where is your faith?" And in Matthew, "O ye of little faith." We read in Hebrews chapter 1 a definition of faith. And you can turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, to read it for yourself on what Jesus is asking the disciples. Where is your faith? What is faith? Hebrews 11, 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Where is the substance of the things that you are hoping for? Where is the realization of the ideals that you hold so dear? The teachings, the principles, the concepts. When does the rubber meet the road? Where is the meat? How does it come into being? The fact that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he is King. How does that manifest itself? And where is that faith? Where is that substance of the hope in Jesus Christ that says the world directs me in this way, but I am following Christ, who's leading me and showing me the way to his cross, to deny myself and hope and trust in him for the victory. And we will do things that seem backward to the world, that seem to go in contrary to the world. But we are hoping and trusting in God, the one who is completely pure and holy. And that's the thing that we hope for. And so the substance, the evidence, and the realization of the things that we hope for in God, his purity, his holiness, where is it? How is it expressed? In daily choices, in the response to the opposition that we face from the world, and maybe from family members that don't believe. Do we stand strong? Do we hold and say, no, I don't need those things that defile and that will draw me away from the Lord? Where is the substance of the things that are hoped for? Where is the evidence of the things that are not seen? The evidence of God, the evidence of a Father who cares for us. These are brought about in the fruits of a Christian's life, the fruit of the Spirit. There's a spirit of love. But there's a realization of love, and there's a substance of love in the way that we treat one another, in our willingness to forbear, and our forgiveness. We read, let's look at the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Can you see love? There is a spirit of love, and there is a substance of love. And it is that substance that Jesus is looking for, a bringing into reality the principles and the truths and the concepts that we know of God, so that they are not just left in our minds as ideas, but they're carried forth. They're put into practice. Temperance. There's a spirit of temperance. And there's a manifestation of temperance that says no to self and yes to the Lord. In the things that we take in with our eyes, in the things that we take in with our mouth, in the things that we enjoy with our flesh, there's a manifestation of that virtue. Meekness. long-suffering, and joy, and peace. Peace is a beautiful concept, and we can talk at length about its virtues. But an example, one to show me the way, this is something of substance and of value. One who keeps their cool when pressured and when treated harshly, when spoken evil of, that doesn't return evil. This is substance of faith. This is substance of the virtues of God. This is faith in action. And Jesus asks his disciples, where is your faith? Where is the substance? Can you point it out in your life? Are you bearing the fruits of your faith in Jesus Christ? And that is important. Faith in Jesus Christ. Because faith by itself can be placed in many objects or many different people. People place confidence or faith in the economic system. People place faith or confidence in how much value they get from the esteem of their peers and how highly others think of them. And it's like an account. And you make investments in that account. And you spend time and you put effort into that. But will that faith endure? Will that faith pay off? Will that investment be for your good? Not eternally. And it is not of benefit here below either. Where we place our faith is very important. In the words of Jesus Christ, who says, we will cross this sea. When you start trying to obey and seeking to put those things into practice, and the resistance comes, then doubts often come. But return those doubts with the words of Christ, that his promises we will cross. His promise will endure. He will be faithful to what he has said. And so do not deviate from his commands. They are loving and they are sure to give his children their desire and their hope for of eternal life with Jesus Christ, our Savior. Our faith is in the Word of God. Our faith is in the character of God. He can make promises, but will he keep them? That is dependent on his character, who he is. And when we trust who he is, we can face the storm with confidence, not in our own abilities, our own intellect, or plans, but that God knows what's best for us and that he cares because that is his character. And that when we close our eyes in death, that he truly will keep his promise that he has given through Jesus Christ our Lord. Trust in his character. Place your faith in the right person, not in your friends, not in those that are around you, but in Jesus Christ. Where is your faith? This question begs a response. And not just a knowledge about what the disciples were going through and how they faced adversity, but the word your, that is for me and for you to consider. Where is your faith? When you are asked the question, you are given a choice. Where is your faith being placed? Where is the evidence and the fruits? These are the things that Jesus brings to your mind and your heart to shine the light so that you would know where you are and where I am in our walk of faith and call us to closer walk with Him. Our faith is a blessing, and we are to hold it dearly. I'd like to conclude with just reading a few verses from Psalm 102 that speak of faith and its blessing, that we can ponder, where is my faith? Where is it placed? How is it being expressed? Where do I find it? And where does Jesus see it manifesting itself? My faith gives peace and rest to me and leads me heavenward to Thee, O Christ, my faith's foundation. O grant to me true constancy, that naught may take away from me this heavenly consolation. Impress Thou deeply on my soul what depth of grace can make me whole. To all who here believe on Thee, a right to Thy eternity, Lord, by Thy death has offered. No more am I but dust and breath, no more a prey to second death. Thou too for me hast suffered. To me, thus cleansed from every stain, this body's death shall be but gain. I do believe, O praise the Lord, the truth and mercy in His word have not in vain been given. His word hath wrought my sanctity. His grace hath brought new life to me, made me an heir of heaven. In me His Spirit operates, and the new man in me creates. O Father, thanks and praise to Thee for faith and hope and charity taught by Thy gospel story. Should I not seek while here I live and practice all that here may give a foretaste of Thy glory? Impress Thou deeply on my soul what depth of grace has made me whole. May the Lord bless His word, and I'd like to give room for the other brother in the other language.